The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good day. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. Thank you for hanging with us on this Friday Eve. Pro Bowl linebacker Bart Scott in the building. 4 hours of TV already, so you're all warmed up, ready to go. How are we feeling?
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
Really?
No, not really.
Okay. Kimberly Martin, how are you, lady? I seen you on IG, living your best life, got your tan, the braids, on vacay. Welcome back. Good to have you with us. And Kendrick Perkins will be with us in just a bit as well. Max and Stephen A. are off today. Guys, a lot to get into. And let's start with the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones making headlines after we saw a very different side of him at a press conference yesterday. Dallas has the best odds to win the division after getting Dak Prescott back. Here's owner Jerry Jones on his thoughts on getting to another Super Bowl.
I'd do anything known to man to get in a Super Bowl. That's a fact. And have a lot of the days when you've got to ask yourself is what are you doing in the middle of this? But that served me well. That served me well. This isn't an I, me, but I've had a lot of people tell me you're naive and or say that he's naive. Well, it's a beautiful world. It's a better world to be naive than to be skeptical and be negative all the time. I feel as driven as I was when we first bought the team.
There are so many gems right there. I don't even know where to begin. It is a beautiful world, right? He will do anything to win a Super Bowl. Bart, you're up first. Do you think the Cowboys will even make the playoffs?
This is a tough one because the playoffs are expanded. But if I had to go with my gut, I would say no, because the Cowboys always cowboy. And when you think about, you know, they're the favorite in the division, but you look at the Giants. The Giants are the most balanced team within the division. If Junior Whopper Hands, Danny Dimes can hold on to the football and not turn the ball over so much, I think they should be the favorite because they're stout on defense. They have a Dory Jackson. They went out and I thought they got the steal of the draft in OZs. And also they brought in Kenny Galladay. Saquon Barkley is going to be motivated by what every athlete's greatest motivation is. It's money. So he's going to be motivated, so he's going to come back. We know what he is when he's healthy. Right now, the cream of the crop in that division is the Giants, and I think Washington football team is right behind. And I think pulling up third, it's the Dallas Cowboys.
Wait, I need to pause you for a second, then Kimberly, I will get to you, because you are sitting next to a huge Giants fan, and this is music to my ear. You really think the Giants are the most balanced, complete team in the division? And you believe in Danny Dimes.
I believe in Junior Whopper. He's my outbreak candidate of the year right now. I think he can have a Josh Allen type of ascension because he hasn't had balance, right? In your first year with Joe Judge, you know, they finished the season well. And if it wasn't for the Philadelphia Eagles, like, you know, going full Tropic Thunder, they would have been in the playoffs. So now you give them back a full offseason. You think of Tony, you think of Ingram, you think about Galladay, Slayton. And then on the other side, you know, Leonard Williams being retained. And also Aziz, who's a true pass rusher, two lockdown corners. You think about, you know, Julius Peppers. You think about Peppers, right? And you think about what he's doing. You know, I think that's the most complete team in the division.
I'm here for all that. Kimberly, where are you on all this?
Bart talking a lot of what ifs. Danny Dimes can hold on to the football. Okay, that's true. If he can do that, okay, I'm with you, Bart. Okay. But we don't know that. Same way, when people talk about I actually think the Cowboys will make the playoffs. You know why? Because I actually think they'll win the division. That might shock Bart, but I think if you're going to talk about what if Dak comes back and he's the Dak that we've seen? You know, you talk about Saquon. Oh, he's going to be motivated. He got paid. I'm told Zeke Elliott is in the best shape of his life, and he's a man on a mission. So both teams have a lot of what ifs and a lot of question marks, and they need to be better. But I think overall, when you look at the landscape of the NFC East, when quarterbacks are in the conversation, I trust Dak more than any other quarterback in this division, and that's why I give them a leg up. Because on paper, the roster to me is set. The defense can't be any worse than it was last year. Let's be honest, guys. Dan Quinn is going to get that defense together. Zeke is going to come back looking to prove people like Bart, like, okay, you talk about other running backs, but I'm a show out. And I think Dak has always been that fourth round pick that's always trying to prove himself. So I think the Cowboys will be straight this year.
Kim, the most cliche words in all of sports is best shape of my life, right? Best shape of my life, because last year he was in the worst shape of his life. And listen, you talk about ifs. What about that offensive line? When are we going to worry about Tyron Smith finally being healthy, right? He's the oldest 30-year-old in football. You talk about the other offensive line, Lionel Collins, right? You talk about if this defense can figure out how to fight their way out of a wet paper bag, right? We talk about a lot of ifs on Dallas Cowboys,
Bart,
Mike McCarthy.
Bart.
If it was a flip, we all be drunk. And it's a lot of liquor over there in Dallas.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, the Giants have a quarterback that they believe in but still needs to take that Josh Allen next step. So you're putting all your faith in this being the year for Daniel Jones. We haven't seen it yet. You've got confidence, but he still has to show it on the field. So quarterback for me, like, I've seen what Dak can do. I haven't seen Daniel Jones get to that next level. I haven't seen him be able to protect the football. I'm sure he can. He just needs to do it. So when he does, we can have this conversation again. But for right now, all of this is conjecture. It's all about what we think will happen. And at least I've seen enough from the Dallas Cowboys on paper. I've seen enough from the Dallas Cowboys, at least top to bottom, to say, like, okay, this team is stacked. If they do everything they need to do, they could ball out again.
Bart, talk to me about Saquon versus Zeke, because obviously Zeke had career lows last season. Why do you not believe in him versus you're believing in Saquon? Or why do you believe in the Giants' defense versus not the Cowboys?
Well, when you think about Saquon Barkley, he's motivated by the greatest motivator. He's getting paid, right? Mm-hmm. It's hard to be hungry when you're full. Right? And Ezekiel Elliott got his money and he shut it down, right? You know, Saquon Barkley has always showed the discipline to respect his craft, right? Always coming in shape. I always worry about guys that only get in shape when they have to, because what Ezekiel Elliott understands is with that cap number and with Dak Prescott getting paid, that he's first online to get chopped. Right, as they have to go and sign some of these other guys on the defensive side of the ball, right? So when I think about Saquon, I think he's a better version of Zeke. He's who Zeke used to be, right? When you think about if he can get back to form and also catch the football at a high level, he's a guy that's capable of over 200 or 2,000 yards of productivity because of his ability to catch the ball. And now he's not going to be going against loaded boxes, because if you dare to load the box up, look at all the weapons that now Danny Dimes have on the outside. Danny Dimes is a guy that's more athletic than people give him credit for. I would argue to say that he's a more athletic quarterback than Dak Prescott. We know that he can run faster than Dak Prescott.
We need to pause on that.
No, we don't have to pause.
No. We need to make sure everyone can marinate that for a second, because you're just rushing through it. Can you please say that again? Give him a single.
Danny Dimes, Daniel Khaki Pants Dimes, is a better athlete than Dak Prescott. Yes, I said it. And listen, let's take him in a relay
it's
race.
Too early for these kind of things.
Danny Dimes got up to 21 miles an hour last year. Dak Prescott has to get that in a scooter.
All right, Kimberly, I want to get your thoughts on Washington, though, because Bart even has Washington ahead of the Dallas Cowboys. Where are you on Washington versus the Giants in that division? And I'm assuming you also have Philly last.
Yeah, I'm high on Washington. To me, the question mark, again, I talk about quarterback. Washington in the building, they love Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick is a guy who will win over a locker room. He's a guy that will get – he's a veteran. He's got this – I don't know. He's just got this little Fitz magic about him where everybody is like, I love him. Defensive guys on that team are like, this is the dude. We're straight. All the offensive acquisitions, Curtis Samuel, they've got Terry McLaurin. He's a speedster. They think that Ryan Fitzpatrick, that gunslinger mentality, he can throw it downfield, he can win you games. But here's the thing. he can also lose you games because of that gunslinger mentality. I have lived the Fitzmagic experience. I have covered Fitz on other teams, and this is what happens. It starts off Fitzmagic, and then it turns a little tragic, and then we go around the merry-go-round. So the question for me with Washington is the offense. Internally, they think they have a great shot at this division. They think they can be defending champs again, but I think it's fair to have reservations about Ryan Fitzpatrick because who's behind him? Taylor Heinicke was the guy in the playoffs last year, mm-hmm. and then they brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick is a bridge. The question is, bridge to who, and how good will he be this year?
Absolutely. I'll just say it one more time. Danny Dimes is more athletic than Dak Prescott. At Bart Scott. And also, Zeke is full. So that's the issue right there. It wasn't the line.
I'm blocking my messages.
The man got paid. All right, guys, more to get into here. So the strife between Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers has been long documented after we found out that Aaron Rodgers turned down the opportunity to become the highest paid player in football this offseason. Stephen A. emphasizing what he had said all along. It was never about that money. It was about the disrespect. Listen to what Stephen A. had to say on Tuesday.
What idiot out there would possibly think this is football? This is not about football. This is about the way that the Green Bay Packers have treated their star player. They have disregarded him. They have dismissed him. They have minimized him. They've disrespected him. And he said, bump y'all. Enough's enough.
Okay. So in case you didn't believe Stephen A., maybe this is going to sway you. This is a tweet from Shailene Woodley. That would be Aaron Rodgers' fiance retweeting that take from our very own Stephen A. Smith. Kimberly, I'm going to come to you here. You know, Kimberly, we're both married. There's a thing. It's called pillow talk. tell me this. Is Rodgers being disrespected as his fiance co-signed?
Oh, 100%. I thought we were all in agreement about this. That's why we're here. This is Aaron Rodgers is that person in a relationship that feels like they've been done wrong. And they're basically like, I'm done with you. Now, mm-hmm. I sign that paper, and unfortunately, their partner does not want to pick up a pen and sign those divorce papers. He has completely been disrespected. And I think what makes it worse is what we saw Tom Brady go to. Tom Brady went to Tampa. Tom Brady went to, you know, it was almost like Death Row and Suge Knight. Like, come down to Tampa. You want a coach that's going to love you, that's going to be, all, like, make it all about you, give you what you want, come down to Tampa Bay. And Aaron saw that. He saw how different it was. Tom felt how, look at Tom. Tom is a new man with Bruce Arians love behind him. He is a new man. And Aaron Rodgers is trying to be a new man away from Brian Gutekunst and everybody in Green Bay. Unfortunately, Green Bay is trying to hold on to him like that lover that's like, baby, please, I'm sorry. The shame of it is that what Aaron Rodgers wanted is what most great quarterbacks in the league want, like a Russell Wilson, a Tom Brady. They want to feel like they are a part of the discussions, that they are consulted. Mm-hmm. You understand players can't make decisions, but at the same time, they want to have input. You're signing this guy, my top receiver that I love, or you're going to take a quarterback when I'm still here and I'm trying to play five more years. So 100% he's been disrespected. And I love the petty because he should be all up in his feelings right now. I get it.
Listen, for me, you're saying thing make you laugh, make you cry, right? And I don't think when the Green Bay Packers picked Aaron Rodgers, I don't think they were in the market for a quarterback when they had Brett Favre under center, right? But what happens is sometimes Brett Favre was talking about retirement, Bart. Yes, he was. And sometimes things happen, right? Like a young quarterback slips, right? So listen, we all go through this as a quarterback, I mean, as an NFL player. And I understand it's a little bit different with the quarterback. And maybe they should have tried to speed dial him and say, hey, listen, this player's falling. We still believe in you, but he's falling. His value's too great here. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers has to get out his feelings a little bit because everybody out there that wants to do what Tom Brady has done has to see how Tom Brady has got it done. I think a lot of times we don't really mention why Tom Brady can go down to Tampa, why Tom Brady can say, hey, I want Gronk. Hey, but we already have O.J. the Juice Man and we got Cameron Brake. Why he can say, hey, I want Antonio Brown, and it doesn't matter. We already have Mike Evans and we already have great receivers, but I want it. It's because he leaves some cheese for the taco, right? You talk about all these quarterbacks that want to go out and say, let me pick these players, but they taking the top, all the money. When was Tom Brady ever the highest paid quarterback in the league? Well, Aaron Rodgers has been, right? And to say that, you know, he should have, you know, the opportunity to buy some of the groceries, that's one thing. I think if anything, he should be pissed that the fact they went and got Thunder Thighs, you know, A.J. Dillon, instead of maybe getting him a second round receiver to help him out, especially when he already had Aaron Jones. But this whole notion and narrative that they've done him wrong, listen, everybody goes through this. I mean, we talk
about. What about drafting Jordan Love?
Well, I mean, I think the value was just too good, right, Molly? Right, he's sitting there, and eventually you were going to have that bridge quarterback. Now, they knew that Aaron Rodgers could still play at a high level, but they knew his cap dollars was getting higher. At some point, you always have to say goodbye. And what they've done in their history is they've always been 1 year too early instead of 1 year too late. Right, I want to say the two organizations that probably have had the most stability at the quarterback position has been the Colts and it has been the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. It's because they were early when they saw the end coming to their superstar and they took advantage of it.
I understand being early and I understand what happened with Brett Favre and all of that, but he needed help. He needed weapons, yeah. Aaron Rodgers, and he was ready to go. So that's why I feel like the timing wasn't fair in that case scenario to bring in a quarterback.
Yeah, but, I mean, the quarterback, you're trying to get stability for the next 20 years. If Aaron Rodgers was able to play 3 years and you think most quarterbacks play 15 years, now you have stability at the position and you got it when you still had a great roster. So sometimes it's just a luxury pick. And sometimes guys make luxury picks. They just look what happened with – well, I don't want to compare RG3 and Kirk Cousins. I mean, I think that would be a bit disrespectful. Yeah. But I think they should have had a little bit more, you know, communication. Aaron Rodgers wants out, but I don't think – you know, I think it's only going to get worse, though, Molly, too. When you look at the contract situation, everybody thinks that they guaranteed him 5 years.
Yeah.
That's not 5 years. That's funny money. That's just a way to add years to the deal so they can prorate it, so they can sign Devontae Adams. I think Green Bay should be concerned because maybe they not only lose, you know, A-Ryan, but they lose potentially Devontae Adams. And they don't have any receivers under contract on their roster for next year.
Mm. Kimberly, that's really interesting to me just from the simple fact. I think Bart's the first person we've had on here of late that's defending the Packers more so than Aaron Rodgers.
So here's my thing. I had to switch out my AirPods because I gotta come at Bart real quick.
Are you good
AirPods
now?
Or die. I had
you
to
good?
Switch out.
Don't be putting no Vaseline on your face. You better put no Vaseline on your face.
Because don't let me take off my earrings, Bart, because here we go.
No.
Look, the reality is, yes, he was disrespected. The reality is that, you know, with this franchise, they miscalculated badly. They miscalculated how many years Aaron Rodgers was going to play at MVP level. So what did he do? He was an MVP last year with Jordan Love sitting on the bench. Now Aaron Rodgers is like, okay, well, you like that guy. Let me go. Green Bay doesn't want to let him go. Green Bay's like, oh, wait. MVP, no, we want you. We want you on our timeline. And that's the thing. It's sort of like you want – I get the business aspect. I get feelings and business, and you got to keep them separate. But at the same time, when you have – Bart, you know, we understand. We've seen bad quarterbacks, okay? We know that when you have a Hall of Fame-type quarterback, you don't handle him the same way like you handle other guys. It is different because you are blessed to have this guy in the first place. You found him. You drafted him. Now keep him in the system. And they thought he was going to get 1 or 2 years left. They thought he had like a couple years left. And Aaron said, no, I'm trying to play five. I'm trying to keep that kid on the bench for several more years. So if you really believe, if Green Bay really believes in Jordan Love, could have traded Aaron Rodgers this year. There are plenty of teams that would have taken Aaron Rodgers, but they want to hold on to him. Mm-hmm. They want to hold on to him until they're ready to get rid of him. And Aaron Rodgers is sort of like, wait now, do you love me? Or you just love me right now? Like, what's the commitment here? Because he's already out the way he's been treated, he's out the door.
Yeah, but I mean, really what he could do if he really wanted to, tell us what you want then. That's what I'm saying. Tell you what you want. Now, listen, it's okay to admit that you were wrong. Like, I think the Patriots admitted that they were wrong, and they shipped Jimmy G out to San Francisco. I think Aaron Rodgers, if he wanted to be there, could have won this debate. They can't get much for Jordan Love because nobody's seen him. But they could have got rid of him. They could have let the kid stay around, maybe look good in the preseason. But if you want to go, then say you want to go. Like, we heard Dame Lillard come out and address the issue. Like, we can't get a straight answer from Aaron Rodgers.
He's made it clear that he wants to go?
But we can't get a straight answer. I mean, you got to burn the bridge, right? Deshaun Watson had to burn the bridge, right, to start the conversation forward. So come out and burn the bridge. Say, I don't want to be here. There's nothing that we can do to reconcile. Let me go. And this is how we can go.
I thought he did that behind closed doors. It's just that his hands are tied due to the contract.
No, no. He got to go full Tropic Thunder, Molly. He got to come out and tell everybody. Okay. He got to tell everybody. He got to screen him from the mountaintop.
Kimberly, to that, you say what? We also, you gotta play it a little, gotta be real careful with it, though, because you also have legacy in mind. You don't want, like, I get, just burn it all down, just burn all, like, put that match and walk out the room. I get that. However, Aaron Rodgers is smart. He's savvy. He's trying to play the political game, too. You know, it's the organization. Like, the longer we talk about this, the longer, like, the worse Green Bay looks, the longer he stays away, the worse Green Bay looks, because they have a future Hall of Fame quarterback under contract who doesn't want to be there. So he can't just, I think he also has to be very cognizant of how fans, how quickly it could turn to him being the guy that's been disrespected to, fans getting frustrated and saying, you know what? Do you not want to be here? Is it really them or is it you? And I think that's why he's sort of trying to play it down the middle and saying just enough without saying, I hate you all, get me out of here.
Well, you got to have come find common ground. And the common ground may be, hey, Aaron Rodgers, we trade you this year. We're going to get future draft picks that we can't use and pick the next year and players that we can't utilize the next year. So how about you come play here and we'll let you go and we'll trade you to your destination, but give us one more year. And if you can't do that, then write us a check for $33 million because we already put a lot of cheese on your taco and you ain't going to eat it unless you're going to come back and play for us.
Now you want them to come to Aaron Rodgers and talk about draft picks like, hey, man, if we take draft picks, like, we can't really use it. What, when they had draft picks,
so I'm going to trade you and watch you go be happy and be successful.
There were seven, listen, there were seven or eight drafts in a row where Green Bay took defensive guys. Seven or eight until
Yeah, that's because they couldn't stop
Jordan
a nosebleed.
Love.
That's why they were losing, not because the offense wasn't putting up numbers. And finally they went out and got away and spent money in free agents, something that Green Bay never does. They usually only pay their homegrown players. They went out and got Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith. They went out and got him help so he wouldn't have to do everything because, hey, maybe he gets some field position. He's on a short field and he doesn't have to put up, 4,000, 5,000 yards. Went out and got him a great running back that he can go in and be a compliment so he doesn't have to put himself at harm's way, because it was a couple of years in a row where Aaron Rodgers was getting hurt and not finishing the season. I'm going to drop
it. You're just mad because you're not a quarterback, Bart. That's the problem.
Yeah, listen. Yeah,
you
I'm mad because I'm out here balling on the budget, man.
Being,
give me some of that money. I play
a certain way. Yeah. I mean, that's like, it's a business, right? That's the business.
Let me get my tiny violin. You played how many years in the NFL? Now you're on television. You're just
11.
All right.
11.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, there he is, bringing all that smoke. Big Perk, how we feeling today?
Yeah, hey, Molly, it's a beautiful morning. What's going on, Molly? What's up, boy?
What to do,
I'm
big
fella? Good. We're good. We're good. Thank you guys for filling in for Max and Stephen A today. Really appreciate it. And Kimberly Martin will be back with us in just a bit. We got to carry on. I understand. I'm going to play that for everybody at home, and then we'll react to it. Sound good? Oh, Perk, you got
Let's
it. You got
it.
A fresh live one for us? Okay, here we go. You do this.
Here we go. Here we go. Look, right now, the late, great David Stern, former commissioner, is from the skies above smiling down. You know why, Molly and Boyd? For the simple fact that his dream was, his NBA dream, was to make the NBA a global sport for international players. And right now, we're witnessing that. We're witnessing greatness from them. If you look back from our last three MVP winners, Giannis, Jokic, and you go into this season and you watch Giannis win his first NBA championship at the age of 26, and you watch his post-game interviews, and you watch how he carried himself with humbleness, with a great character, this is a guy that you won't represent in your franchise, a guy that's going to lay it out on the line when he's on the court, a guy that's going to represent your franchise in great fashion off the court. He has set the bar extremely high. And after looking at Giannis and watching him play, listening to his post-game interviews, watching him celebrate, if you're not a fan of Giannis Antetokounmpo as a person, then guess what? You are just a bona fide hater. So with that being said, I love the way that the NBA has gone global. I love with the way that the international players and what they have brought to the table for us, not only on the court, but their character off the court. Carry on.
I like that one, man. That's what I'm talking about. And I think you can add Joel Embiid to that as well. I think he plays a perfect heel. You talk about, you know, being able to open it up. We're seeing it, you know, in the Olympics and, American team going over there and losing to Nigeria, right? You know, and that's what you want. The world is becoming small, and I think that was David Stern's vision, so that, you know, it can become a global sport and that you can grow the fan base. It started with the Dream Team, and now, right now, you know, you look at some of the great, you know, Luka Doncic, right? You think about Jokic. Now you add, you know, Giannis there, and he's class personified, right? He did it the right way. He came over here. He did it his way. And to the victor goes the spoils.
Yeah. Fifth player outside of the U.S. to win MVP. Go ahead, Burke.
Well, you know what else is that? When you watch it, it also put pressure on the American athletes, the players that grew up in the United States, to hold them accountable, to make sure that they're on top of their games. Because what? It's only a 450, you know, roster spots in the NBA. So, you know, now guys has to elevate their game, and guys also have to elevate their character. If you're a franchise, you're an organization, you're paying a guy to lead your franchise $35-40 million a year, some getting $45. You want those guys to represent your brand in great fashion. You want those guys to go out there and make sure that they're a guy that say, hey, when you think of the Milwaukee Bucks, a team that haven't won in 50 years, and your leader is a guy like Giannis who's going to carry himself like a tremendous human being off the court. This is what you want. He reminds me a lot of the great Tim Duncan and the way that he carried the Spurs organization, the way that he showed character, his humbleness to the game, his dedication to the sport.
I mean, I love the fact how, like, he was built, not born, right? You know, we all see the pictures now, and we kind of laugh at him when he came in at 18 years old, and you see the work that he put in. Me and I both know you don't put on 40 pounds because because it's God-given talent. That's been put in work in the dark, right? And what's done in the dark comes out in the light. And I think, you know, right now, to the victor goes to spoils. He's controlling the narrative. I mean, because we know so little about Giannis. We don't know his story, right? Because he didn't grow up in those AAU tournaments where we know his backstory. We knew everything about LeBron, KD. We're starting to learn, you know, the chapters of Giannis. And, you know, it's amazing what this kid has been through, from going to being a street vendor to bringing his brothers over, to hearing the reports about, you know, when he first came over, how he was so homesick, how he decided to come back. If we would have knew all that stuff, we would have knew there was no chance of him leaving Milwaukee, because he's an extremely loyal player.
Yeah, you know what else is impressive before we move on here? This is the second season that players born outside the U.S. won MVP, the Joker, Finals MVP Giannis, Defensive Player of the Year Rudy Gobert. I want to stay with that subject and talk about the Olympics, though, Perk. How impressed are you with Team Nigeria?
I'm very impressed. Very, very impressed. They play extremely hard, and you have to realize a few of those guys play in the NBA, but they play with a certain type of passion, right? They're showing. My high school coach always used to tell me, Molly, you never know who's watching, and that's in life, right? And the way that they approach the game of basketball, that's how they go out there on the court. They know that the eyes are on them. They know that their goal is some of those guys that are not in the NBA. They want to get to the NBA, and they know that the stage is set. But most importantly, you know what I'm impressed by? Is Mike Brown. We're talking about an assistant coach who hadn't had a head coaching job in a long time. He's taking this serious, right? Coaching this team, having them prepared offensively and defensively, locked in and taking it serious, because he know that eyes are on him as well.
I mean, I tell you what, we all understand what it's like to be a professional athlete and have dreams. And when you think about sometimes, you know, what people go through in other countries, they're running away from something. And that's what the American players are going to have to really contend with, as life has got a lot easier for us, a little bit easier for us over here, understanding that, it's a privilege to be able to have an opportunity to play a child's game, to become a multimillionaire and establish generational wealth.
Yeah, absolutely. My dad always impressed that on me. I'm never going to understand what it's like to have that immigrant mentality and that type of work ethic. Before we get out of here really quick, I just want to ask you, Bart, because I find it interesting. We're talking about the NBA and how global it's become and how impressive, and we're even seeing it in the Olympics with all the players and Team USA losing a bunch of games. Do you think this puts pressure on the NFL at all? You know, because they've kind of rested in their laurels. The NFL's king here in America, but how about abroad? Not much has happened.
Well, you saw that, right? The NFL has had an attempt at that. They have the NFL Europe game where they go to London once a year to try and expand the game. They used to have the NFL Europe but it became too expensive. Mm-hmm. They reportedly were supposed to have games in Mexico, and those didn't work out. I think that's the next step, right, for them to start. Remember the guys like the Nigerian Nightmare. Right. You think about Nnamdi, who was from Nigeria as well. They're trying to expand the game. But, the difference is basketball is a game that's cheap and it's easy to expand because you don't need to have, hundreds of dollars invested in one player because of the equipment, the cost of it. Football is a very expensive sport. You talk about, being able to try and teach them there, but being able to have the resources for a country that is already poor.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Molly Karam here. And thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Our NFL insider Adam Schefter tweeted about Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger. Steelers reported to training camp today. Here is a lean, mean Big Ben showing up for his 18th season. I feel like I should give a round of applause, props on that, because they take a beating. Right, Bart? Ben Roethlisberger's play went in the wrong direction after the Steelers' strong start this past season. 2021 will be a big year for him. Should he finish his career in Pittsburgh, it'd be the most seasons by a quarterback all with the same franchise in NFL history. All right, let's talk about this division right now. We got Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Joe Burrow. Bart, I can't believe I'm asking this. It feels very disrespectful.
Yes.
But you know where I'm going.
Yes.
Is Big Ben, even though he's all slim, 18 years in, is he the worst quarterback in the AFC North?
Not at all. I mean, listen, greatness comes in every shape and size. And much like Giannis, Big Ben greatness won't be appreciated until he's gone. You're talking about a guy that's a two-time Super Bowl MVP, a two-time Super Bowl champion, a bona fide Hall of Famer, a guy that led his team to 11-0 last year before the wheels fell off. And why did the wheels fall off? The wheels fell off because he's coming off of Tommy John surgery. And usually when pitchers have Tommy John surgery on the elbow, what do? Molly, they put him on an innings restriction. What did the Steelers do? They threw the ball almost 50 times a game, right? His arm got weak, and as the weather, inclement weather got worse, then he couldn't throw the ball, cut the ball through the wind in the elements. They had no running game. This year he's going to have a running game. This year he's going to be rejuvenated. Listen, it's a bunch of quarterbacks in his league that have played well past the age of 39. You're talking about, Warren Moon. We sitting here applauding, Tom Brady and his avocado toast or whatever he's eating. He doesn't eat bread. It's avocado ice cream. And then we want to throw the same hate on Big Ben. Big Ben is made out of everything that those guys are, right? His resume speaks for itself. He's a guy that's never had a losing record, right? I don't know why the hate is so big on Big Ben. And listen, and the Steelers in general, when has the Steelers ever had a losing record underneath Mike Tomlin? I'll wait. Okay, so why do we believe they're going to start now and start believing in Cleveland? Come on, man, you're killing me, Petey.
Listen. I understand, Big Ben resume is longer than the Starbucks line. I get that, right? And I understand, he's a future Hall of Famer. I get everything about Big Ben, and I respect Big Ben. But when we talk about football, right, and we talk about the quarterback position, it's just like in any other sport, boy. We talk about the evolution, right? We talk about what do quarterbacks in today's game have to do. They have to be able to scramble. They have to be able to be a dual quarterback. Now, Tom Brady just happened to be different. But let's not get fooled by the Pittsburgh Steelers' record last year, because a lot of those teams they played last year wasn't that good. So when you look at what's going on in the AFC North, you look at Baker Mayfield, a guy that showed tremendous strides last year, the guy that we have been waiting on, a guy that's mobile, that can get outside the pocket. You look at a guy like Joe Burrow. I know he's coming off an ACL injury, but he'll be perfectly fine. If I could come off an ACL injury and I wasn't nearly as athletic as Joe Burrow, I know he's going to be fine, a guy that can scramble outside the pocket. And we don't even need to talk about Lamar Jackson. We know what he could do with his feet. But what I'm saying is, you just got to think about how much the NFL has elevated the athletes, right? You look at Myles Garrett, you look at Aaron Donald. Those guys are freaks of nature. You have those certain type of individuals on every defense in the NFL. So with Big Ben not being able to really be mobile outside the pocket, it's going to be hard for him in the Pittsburgh Steelers, I believe. And that's why I have him as the last quarterback for us being in the AFC North, because his ability to get outside the pocket and move and scramble on his feet.
See, Big Perk, see, that's where you're wrong, right? Because people don't realize Big Ben is one of the most athletic quarterbacks that I've ever gone against. And maybe he's lost a little speed off his fastball, but he's still a guy that can make you miss. And he does it in a different way. He does it like Steve McNair. He swats you down because he's massive. He's hard to tackle. Most of the guys that's coming on blitzes are 6'2". He's 6'5". And you look at him, he's looking lean and mean right now. But, what happens is the whole is only as good as the sum of his parts, right? And look at the sum of the parts that he has. He has a tremendous defense. I would argue to say that he has arguably the best roster. I think I'll take the wide receivers and the tight end from the Pittsburgh Steelers before I take him from any other team within that division. And, yes, that is including, the Cleveland Browns. And also, you look at what Big Ben is able to do. You look at what John Elway was able to do late in his career, right? They got him a running back in Terrell Davis. And all of a sudden, they thought that John Elway was done. What did he do? He went back to back. And if memory serves me right, Big Perk, he was about the same age as Big Ben. So listen, if I got to bet down on anybody, and I hate to say this because I'm a Raven through and through. Remember where I started my career? Yeah. I hate this man, right?
Yeah, I
wore those colors, right? But I cannot deny and understand that this guy is a guy that can beat you above his shoulders. When Peyton Manning won his last championship, it wasn't because he was great. It was because he was smart enough and he had football acumen to get you in the right place. You think about Baker Mayfield, he's a product of a system, right? You'll hear Tannenbaum talk about all the time. He's the most easily replaceable starring quarterback in all the NFL. You can find a guy that can fake it. We see that with Kirk Cousins. We see that with Ryan Tannehill. Baker Mayfield is no different.
You
it's nothing
really
elite about Baker Mayfield.
He's the most replaceable.
He is.
Most replaceable quarterback in the NFL.
Okay. Out of all the starting quarterbacks, name another team that if they put them on the Cleveland roster, Cleveland wouldn't be better. Name one. Just pick one other than Drew Lock.
Well, look, I'm not going to disrespect Baker Mayfield for what I saw last year with him doing the postseason towards the end of the season. I'm not going to do that. I got two questions, right? Sure. When you talk about defensive players in the NFL, are they not faster? Are they not more athletic than when you played the game of football or when John Elway or even Peyton Manning played the game of football?
Nah,
I'm just asking.
Because it was a guy like LT. It was a guy called Derek Thomas. It was a guy called Terrell Suggs. Aaron Donald and these guys are today is just a modern version. And the new year, people are seeing it, man. But I'm telling you, man, like Big Ben got a lot to say about this.
Okay, no, I was seriously asking you a question. I got another question for you. You was talking about Big Ben and, you know, how athletic he still is. Do you think Big Ben could beat me in the 40?
Yeah, I think he got you, son. I think he got you. I got a lot of faith in you, Perk. And maybe it'll come down to you beat him by a beard because you stick that chin out. But I tell you what, he looked lean and mean. And, like, people don't realize how athletic he was. And the problem is what I'm talking about is his football acumen. Yeah. You know, remember Chase Young had all this smoke. He was talking like, we ain't worried about Tom Brady. How many times did Chase Young touch Tom Brady? That would be zero, Big Perk, because guess what? When you play the game above your shoulders, you know where to go with the football. So it don't matter. You're never going to be able to use that athleticism against Big Ben because the ball's going to be going out of his hands. We just watched CP3. You know, one of the guys, you know, probably got more body fat than you and me, right? Well, maybe not you, but definitely me. But you know what I'm saying? Like, he was able to manipulate the basketball game. Why? Because he was playing the game above his shoulders.
Yeah.
And that's why we've seen Rivers be dominant. We've seen Drew Brees be dominant. We've seen guys as limited as far as their athleticism be dominant because guess what? Today's football players, Perk, are dumb as a box of rocks because they only believe in being fast. They don't understand and see the game. They don't think the game like the players of old.
All right, let me ask you this. So who do you have winning the division? And rank them for me.
Oh, man, for me it's tough, right? I mean, I think it's right there with either Pittsburgh or the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay.
I think, like, listen, we've always seen these super teams, and Cleveland usually Cleveland's, right? And now that Stefanski is going into his second year, what's out there? What's out there is film, and defensive coordinators are tremendous in putting you and making you do things that you don't do well. So all those great defensive coordinators have broken down the system. I think he caught them by surprise in that division last year. Now they're going to have a plan. They're going to make Baker. They're going to set borders for him. He's not going to be able to roll out. They're going to be able to make sure that, hey, if we win, it's going to be because Baker Mayfield's arm. And we're going to make this little short quarterback, we're going to make him throw from the pocket. And he doesn't have windows to see over because he's only 6 feet, barely. So he has to get on the edge to get there. But what happens if you close the doors on the edges? And now he's going to have a lot of mischief and a lot of movement in front of his sight. And that's what you're going to see. You're going to see him struggling, Big Perk.
Perk, who are you taking?
Well, I'm going with the Cleveland Browns. I mean, watching them towards the last part of the season, watching Baker Mayfield starting to be who we wanted him to be, starting to be that leader, I started to see a group of guys that were coming together collectively and started to look like a family, right? And when you look at them, they could win in the trenches, boy. You see they got a nice backfield back there and those running backs. Also, their defense is really, really good. So I'm looking at them, they could battle with the best of them, and to me they should be the favorites to win the AFC North. I don't think it's a fluke when it comes down to the Cleveland Browns.
But Perk, the best defense is in Pittsburgh, right? You can talk about Myles Garrett all you want. Who's been the best pass rusher in that division? It's been T.J. Watt. Lamar Jackson came off the toilet and came back and beat them, man. He came off the pot.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson is different, though.
Yeah, he is in his own category. We'll get into the Browns a little bit later because one thing I do want to talk about is now with Odell coming back and the chemistry because we saw a better year when Baker didn't have Odell, how that will play out. We'll get into that in just a little bit.